Well, good to see all of you tonight. All right. Okay. So Psalm 119, starting verse 97. Well, we know Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. The theme is the Word of God. It is a prayer in commitment to the Word of God. It is a prayer desiring by the psalmist for the Lord to help with Word of God to the psalmist. So it is all about the Word of God. It is the importance of the Word of God in the believer's life. So it has been tremendous for us to go through this book, this chapter, and to see the Word of God portrayed in various ways and its importance. So we are in verse 97. Mem, that is the Hebrew letter, equivalent to M of the English letter. So I'll read this portion first, starting verse 97. How I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. A great portion of the scripture. This portion starts with a phrase, oh, how I love your law. Let me ask you some questions here. Do you know what is the first book ever translated in the world? Bible. I'm sure you're going to answer everything Bible. Do you know the first book ever printed in the world? The Bible. Do you know the book which was ever sold more than any other books in the world? The Bible. Do you know the book was ever bought with the highest price? Which is the book was bought with paying the highest price? The Bible. You know how much was paid? $14 million. You know what book is sold for the lowest price? The Bible. You can even get it free. The most translated book in the world. The Bible. 3,312 languages out of over 7,000 languages in the world. Now it is available. The whole Bible is available in 3,312 as of October 2017. New Testament itself, well, that is a portion of the Bible is translated, in 3,000 languages, a portion. But New Testament itself is available in 1,500 121 languages, the whole New Testament. And the whole Bible is available in 670 languages. You know, the only book ever read as man landed on the moon, that was the Bible which was read on the moon. You know, the one book which is available in all countries of the world, that is the Bible. The one book which is foundational to the laws of many countries, it is the Bible. Now, you know which is the book which is most loved? The Bible. You know which is the book which is most hated? The Bible. The only book which still can transform men, women, and children, that is the Bible. That has the power to transform. No other book has power to transform. And the only book which is unchanging Word of God, that is the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Remember that little chorus we used to sing? We taught our children. Now, no wonder the psalmist says here, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Now we can see why this psalmist is meditating this book all the day. Why? What is the object of his love? He says, "Oh, how I love thy law." What is the object of his love? The Word of God. The law, right? You know, in every verse we can find, the Word of God is mentioned interchangeably. The law or the commandments or precepts, testimonies, the Word, and the words again, the precepts. So it is interchangeably used in every verse. Now, the object of the psalmist's love is your law, thy law. And every verse, if you see as the previous verses we have seen, it is your law, it is your commandments, it is your testimonies, it is your precepts, it is your word, it is your words, your ordinances, your precepts. It is God's word, God's commandment. So the psalmist in every verse previously, as we have seen, he always referred to the Word of God as your commandments, your precepts, your ordinances, your judgments, your words. So the object of the psalmist's love is the Word of God, your law. And how much he loves the Word of God. What is the degree of his love? Oh, how I love your law. Did you ever say that to anybody else? Oh, how I love you. You know, it's better than saying that I love you, right? Even you say, oh, how I love you. That is supersedes everything, every other love, everything else we love. And what is the evidence of his love for the Word? It is that he meditates on it, on the Word of God, day and night. You know, if somebody says, "I love my food, and I eat it all the day," you know, what is the object of his love? Is the food. And what is the evidence of his love? He eats all the day long. It doesn't mean that he's eating all day, but he's always thinking about it, eating, and what is the outcome of when we do eat every day? Well, there are many outcomes, you know. It affects many ways. So if some, so that is the cause and effect we can see here. The cause is that I love my food. The effect is that I eat it all day long. And other effects are there. But here, you know, bringing that little example to show that how I love your law, that is the cause. And we can see the effect. Effect is that I meditate on it all the time. So in this passage I read, we can see the cause and effect. So the theme kind of looks like this way, the cause and effect. So it is love that leads to meditation, that leads to practice. Many ways that practice is interchangeably used as observing, keeping the law, and many other words are used here. So what I'm going to do now is, in every verse except one verse, we can see the cause and effect. So I'm going to tell the effect, and you have to tell me the cause. How about that? I go through each verse, and I will tell the effect. You tell me the cause. What caused? I will say the because. You can say because this is why. So in first two verse, verse 97, I meditate on your law all the day because I love your law, right? Verse 98, I have more wisdom than mine enemies because your commandments are with me, or abide, you know, they abide with me all the time. And 99, I have more insight than my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation. 100, I understand more than the aged because, priest, right. Now, 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way because, yes. Then verse 102 is, I have not turned aside from your ordinances because you taught me, right? Yeah. Then verse 103, we don't see any cause and effect. There is an appreciation for the word that it is sweeter to me and sweeter than honey to my mouth. Then verse 104, again, cause and effect. I hate every evil way because, right. So in every verse, we can see the cause and effect. What is the effect and what is the motivation? What caused that effect? So in verse 97, we see the cause is that the psalmist loves the law. Oh, how I love your law. And it's effected by meditating on his word day and night. Why does this psalmist love God's law? It is written in his heart, but you know, he wants that to be written in his heart. It starts with the love, and it is a progression we can see there. And he loves the word of God because he loves the Lord. Those who love the Lord, they love his word. Jesus himself in John 14, verse 23 said, if anyone says that he loves me, he must keep my word, right? So our love is evidenced by keeping his word. And we cannot say we love God and we do not keep his word. So that is the reason the psalmist love God's law or his word, because he loves the Lord. Anybody who loves the Lord loves his word. And that is evidenced by meditation. And meditation leads to observing or practical practice or keeping the word. Meditation itself is not going to do anything if it is not designed to application, to bring that to our heart. Meditation is of the mind, and that leads to the heart, to obedience, or keeping it, or observing it. So it is how, this is how it goes. First, you love the Lord, and you love His Word. Because you love the Lord, and you love His Word, you meditate. If we cannot say that I love the Lord and don't meditate on His Word, because it is evidenced by our meditation in the Word, that is the evidence that we love the Lord. And that meditation leads to obedience. So love, meditation, obedience. So meditation is a key part of this passage. And we can see that how that progression is made. Because the love for the Word leads to meditation. And that leads to obedience. So that's how we're going to approach this passage. Now the psalmist says, again, you know, the meditation is the key. What do we understand from meditation? I don't know how many of us practice meditation. Meditation is a very key concept in the Word of God. It is very important because it is one of the single most element in the transformation of our character and changing us through the meditation of the Word of God. So what do we understand by meditation? Meditation is thinking over, pondering. It is reflecting, considering, chewing, rumination, or chewing it over. What do we know about rumination? A cow go out into the, you know, right, eat the grass, then just go lay down someplace under the shade, under the tree, and just bring it back, right? Bring back the curd and chew it over and over, then goes back, then bring it back and chew it over. Then that grass that cow ate, and that become a part of its bone and muscle and hair and become blood and each vital part of the body. So what is physically that process of metabolism in rumination is spiritually meditation for the believers, for the health, for the spiritual health. So what metabolism is to the physical body of a cow, meditation is to your mental and spiritual life. So it is internalizing the Word so that the Word of God become part of our soul, our being, our spiritual inner man. So just like the cow become healthy and the vitality is there, and every way it become a healthy cow and produce milk for the sustenance of others. So we are fed through the Word, through the process of meditation. The Word of God become part of every fiber of our soul so that we become a blessing to others and as well as to the glory of God. So that is internalizing the Word of God. So J.I. Packer said, meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. It is an activity of holy thought, consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communion with God. Its purpose is to clear one's mental and spiritual vision of God and to let His truth make its full and proper impact on one's mind and heart. The end of the quote, that is a quote from J.I. Packer. Muse is another word for meditation. Muse. We get the word amuse from the word muse. Muse is think, ponder, consider, deliberate, mull over, reflect on, chew over. When you add that A in front of muse, what we get? Amuse. We get amusement. When we are amused, we don't think. Many of us are, I don't know, as the world is amused today. Christians are amused today because there are so many things for our amusement. It is designed for us not to think, so we can waste our time. There is no thinking. The producers in Hollywood, they do all the thinking behind it. And we are being amused so that we don't think. There's no thinking when we do those things. But muse is think over, ponder on the things of God. So we become a man and a woman of God. So without meditation, we cannot become a man and a woman of God. And we cannot bring glory to God. We cannot be blessing to others. Somebody wrote a book about amusing ourselves to death. I don't know whether you read Amusing Ourselves to Death. So many things are designed in the world today to keep us amused, amusement. So there's no thinking. But the Word of God, meditation is designed to think. The change or transformation comes by the Word of God richly dwelling in us, that is thinking. And Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind. How do we renew our mind? By thinking on the Word of God. So that is the meditation. And we know that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua was going to take an enormous responsibility to defeat and conquer all the promised land. But when God gave him a secret for success and prosperity, what was he gave? He did not give any secret of warfare to beat all his enemies. He said that the word of this law should not depart from your mouth, but ye shall meditate on it day and night, and whatever you do, it will succeed, and you will have prosper. You will be prosperous. So I'm paraphrasing it. The word of this law should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night, and that is how he's going to win all that victories. So then we know that Psalm 1. How many of us can recite Psalm 1 from our memory? Many of us do, but that's one of the first things we... Close, right? So the psalmist says there, you know, it is a portrayal of a blessed man. A blessed man is the one who avoids certain things. It says he avoids the counsel of the ungodly. He avoids the way of sinners. He avoids the seed of the scornful. Then he says the blessed man is delighted in something. What is he delights in? The law of the Lord. That psalmist in Psalm 1 says, oh, how I love your law because I delight in it. Here it says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Then that blessed man is identified by what he delights in. He says, I delight in your law, and it is my meditation day and night. And he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves shall not wither, and who bear fruits in all seasons. So who do not like to be like a man or a woman who is like a tree planted by the rivers of water? So always fruitful. Fruit of the Spirit is just bubbling from that person. The love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. He seems happy. He produces the fruit, and he produces the fruit of righteousness, and he produces the fruit of soul, saving soul. And all those fruits mentioned in the scripture, he is fruitful. Who does not like to be that man and woman? But what is the secret there? He delights in the word and he meditates on it day and night. And so then we can think about other portions in the scripture, what is the benefits of meditation. And we have sufficient now to move on. So you, the focus is that we want to be man and woman of who meditates the word of God. And how can we meditate the word of God? Pardon me? Studying. Well, taking, you know, this portion of the word and just pull it apart. See what is, it is easy to understand. It is written in simple English. It is written in simple grammar. We can focus and see the cause and effect. What is the portion saying? And we can look at that, what is spoken there, why is spoken there. We observe things, we interpret things, then we apply. We say what it means. What it says, that's observing. Then we observe all the things it says, that's observing. Then we look at what it means, that's interpretation. You know, we can figure it out, what it means. And if we cannot understand, we can interpret with other portions, or we can refer to reference and commentaries to find out what it says. Then the third is application, how it works. So observance, what it says, interpretation, what it means, and application, how it works. What does it mean to me? How does it work in my life? As we meditate on the Word of God, we look into the Word of God, I suggest that you take a small portion of the scripture, right? Take Psalm 1. We can see the identification of a blessed man, what he avoids. He avoids three things. He do not live by the counsel of the ungodly. He do not stand in the way of sinners. He do not sit in the seat of the scornful. And then look at the positive thing. That is the negative. He delights in the word of God. He meditates his own day and night. So we can look at all those things or take any portion of scripture. You know, we need to read the word of God meditatively. That is what it says, what there for me to obey, what is there for hope for, and what I need to correct. Yes, go ahead. Right. Right. Yeah. The other way we can memorize that, if you take a portion of the scripture, like for example, I was meditating on this passage. You know, any passage I meditate in order to prepare for the message or something, what happened is you meditate on that passage a week, it becomes part of memory. You go into memory. You can recite verbatim when you start meditating for a week. And you talk to, you know, Jeremy or John, anybody who speaks, you know, when you're thinking about that passage for a week or two and constantly you're musing that in your mind, that becomes part of you. Then you can just recite. So one of the way you can memorize is meditating on it. and also memorizing. You know, some of us are probably hard to memorize at this age, but we start meditating, become go into our memory bank. Yeah, go ahead.
And no matter what you're doing throughout the day, I try to keep in my mind that I'm working for the Lord, not for myself. And I try to please Him in what I do.
Right. Yeah.
And that way I think you will not go astray.
Right. Yeah. But our basis is in from the Word of God. Everything we think has to be based in the Word of God. That's why the Word of God. So another way we can take a small portion, take any epistle, any portion, take it, divide that that chapter into small portions, and try to go over it, read a number of times meditatively, then observe things and ask questions: who it was written, whom it was written, what was the purpose of writing, what I can learn from there, something for me to memorize there. There's something I need to obey now, something I need to correct. So that is. So I strongly encourage each one of us to start meditating, taking a portion, because we can read through, and unless we meditate on it, it doesn't have that much effect. As we read, it's good to know the Word of God, and it touches us, but as we meditate, it becomes more effective. It started searching our heart. We started seeing ourselves in the Word of God. And we see all that needs to be corrected. And we see the perfection of the Word of God, the face of Jesus Christ, because that's our standard. We wanted to be like Him. So I encourage everyone to meditate. So I have to move on. Your commandments, what makes us more wiser than our enemies? The Word of God, right? So the meditation now moves to abiding. Yeah, because it says, for they are ever mine. So literally saying that wherever I go, I take my Bible with me, right? The reason I am wiser than my enemies, because wherever I go, I take my Bible. But it is not literally means that I take this Bible with me. You know, my phone is over there. That has 28 translations in it, right? And has tremendous amount of commentaries and resources. Simon does not mean that. I take my phone everywhere I go. It is all in there. But what he's saying that the Word of God is abiding in me. It is. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. No one can bear fruit unless he abides in me and my word abides in him. And So the Word of God, it says that it is ever with me, does not mean that we are carrying the Word of God, but it has affected us. It is abiding in us. That is the understanding we have here, that the Word of God is with us, so that we have wisdom more than enemies. See, Joshua had more wisdom than all his enemies there. Why? Because he was meditating on the Word. The Word of God was abiding and directing and guiding. And so the letter makes us knowing, but the Holy Spirit makes us wise. The Spirit of God makes us wise. Wisdom is knowledge put to practical use. Wisdom comes through obedience. You know what is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord, right? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do we get more wisdom than your enemies? Do you want to be wiser than your enemies? Every one of us like to be, we should not have any enemies. We should supposed to love our enemies, but we can be more wiser than our enemies. Enemies, they have the worldly wisdom and, they have in James chapter 3, Three kinds of wisdom are mentioned. One is the heavenly wisdom, the other is the earthly wisdom, and which is demonic, right? Then there's worldly wisdom. Earthly and worldly are same because the spirit which works in the world is the spirit of Satan. That is pertaining to this life. There need to be wisdom there. So that is worldly wisdom. Then there's demonic wisdom, but there's heavenly wisdom. So we need heavenly wisdom here. So those who have a wisdom pertaining to life, we can have more wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Then the other question is, how can you have more insight than your teachers? That is verse 99. How can you have more insight than your teachers? So again, through meditation, your testimonies are my meditation, right? So here you love the Word, and that leads to meditation. That leads to abiding the Word in your heart. Then it again speaks about meditation. So you have more insight than your teachers. I'm not talking about teachers in the sense your teachers here, but it is a common, it's like a general, you know, those who are learned, those are proficient in the school of learning. Many learned men are out there, right? The great professors, great scientists and doctors, they are experts in their field. But you can have more wisdom than those learned men if you meditate and observe the Word of God. Because when all is said and done, what really matters if you have wisdom from the Word of God. Now in verse 100 says, I understand more than the aged. So, you know, aged we called the experienced one, right? The experienced one. So that is experiential knowledge. You can have more wisdom than those who are experienced through living on the face of the earth many years. So, you know, so those who are young, they can have a more understanding. Understanding comes from the Word of God. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Hating evil is understanding. So how can we have that understanding? It comes through meditation from the Word of God. So if an older person, if he or she has been meditating the Word of God and have the understanding and also have the experience, that person is double blessed, because twice blessed, because that person has the experiential knowledge of living practically on the face of the earth, as well as the wisdom and the understanding through the Word of God. Then that unites. That person is considered a very mature and wise person. And experience is there through the age that people, as they get old, they're supposed to get some experience, but not necessarily wise in the sense of the Word of God. That only comes through the Word of God. Then a couple more things. I have restrained my feet from every evil way. See, you probably heard this. This book will keep you from sin, or the sin will keep you from this book, right? So here, the sin is going to keep us from this book. So here the psalmist says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way so that I might keep your word. We keep the word so that we will restrain our feet from evil way, right? But the psalmist says that I restrained. That feet stands for affections. See, our feet goes where my brain tells the feet to go. And my brain is controlled from my heart. My affections tells the brain to move my feet where I want to go. So there is a bend we have naturally. That bend is towards evil, right? Like a North Pole, the magnet always goes towards North Pole. There's a bend there, a natural pull towards it. So So what we have to do is we have to restrain that. We have to hold it back. We have to imprison it. We have to hold it back so that we can keep the word. You know, that truth we can see in other portions also. In Psalm 1, we saw that we don't, you know, live by the counsel and walk as sinners do. Then we meditate on the word of God. In 1 Peter 2, we put away malice and all those things so that we can we can desire the word of God as a newborn babe. So there's something to put away. Here's a restriction in our every way. I have not turned aside from your ordinance, for you yourself have taught me. Again, this is the positive. Before we saw the negative. We restrain our way so we can keep the word. So the sin will keep us from the word, so we don't sin, so we can be in the word. And also we are in the word so that we may not sin. And the appreciation of the psalmist that your word is sweet to my taste and sweeter than honey. And it is how sweeter, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. There is an appreciation here for the word of God as this psalmist says, I tasted it, the word of God, and it is sweet to my taste, and it is sweeter than honey. And taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that his word is good too. It is sweet to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Positively sweet. That is sweet to my taste. Comparatively sweet. That is sweeter than honey. Then superlatively sweet. How sweet. Yes, it is sweeter. Showing that it is better than everything. It supersedes everything out there which gives some taste to our desires. But the word of God is sweeter, supersedes everything else. Then finally, he says, I hate every evil way because you give me understanding through your word. The wisdom of God keep us from evil. So how do we get to this point? It starts with the love for the Lord and love for his word. That leads to meditation. See the cause and effect we saw in each case. What is the effect and what caused it? So we need that effect in our life. You want to be wiser than your enemies? You want more insight than your teachers? You want more understanding the aged? You want to restrain your feet from evil? You don't want to turn left or right from the word of God, from the right path? You want the word of God to be sweet to your taste, sweeter than honey? You want to hate every evil way? Then meditate the word of God and obey it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray for your blessing upon your word to our hearts so that we may obey it, Lord. You have given your word to us so that we may meditate and obey, so that we would be men and women of God, bringing glory to you and building one another up to be a blessing to each other. So we pray that you help us in the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.